with Wade Cowan, American Soybean Association. Well, there's so many issues we could talk about because you guys are involved in a lot of things from government and regulation right down to marketing and exports. Let's start off with that recent election. What do you think may happen with a new administration?
Well, I think that the first thing we'll do is that we'll get change. You know, I think that's what everybody wanted that voted for that side of this equation. And so we're going to get some change. I think that we'll get some good change in that. We'll have a pause in regulation, probably a drawing back of a lot of these regulations that really have negatively affected not only soybean farmers, but farmers all across this country. I mean, we've been battling WOTUS here for over a year. We've kept it in the court long enough that maybe we can just do away with it. And so those kind of things are going to be a really good thing here. I'm really optimistic that beyond that, that we're able to see a Congress and a government that puts aside a lot of this partisan bickering and maybe says the people want us to get some things done, so that maybe we've got an opportunity here to get some good farm, maybe a new farm bill in 17, that we take the very best parts of what we got and we fix some of the problems, and that we get the infrastructure that we need, especially for soybeans, that is in the locks and dams issue. You know, that's huge. And then also just our roads and bridges, they need a lot of repair. And so if we get those infrastructure things and we can get that kind of movement, that part of the election, I think, will be very positive for us.
With the regulations, WOTUS, of course, the big monkey on a lot of backs right now, there has been some chatter that a new administration just may do away with it and no enforcement.
That would be a dream for, I guess, all of us, you know, that live in spots that are not like the Chesapeake Bay, where they've already got some rules and regulations. I think we may see a Congress here that pulls back a lot of this, you know, where they control some of this Endangered Species Act, some of these things that have been used to maybe overreach. You know, none of us that are in agriculture want to see the natural habitat affected negatively. You know, I love, like anybody, to be able to go out and see the different animals, you know, the prairie chickens in our area that they holler they're endangered, they're not, you know, but it doesn't really matter. We want to see that. And so I think we'll see some of that overburden, some deal that they'll pull back, and maybe they'll make some clarifications now where we can't have those kind of regulations really affect us negatively like they have.
Looking ahead, a new farm bill in 17, but most everyone I've talked to says, if you don't start working on it now, it won't be on in time.
Well, we've actually, at the American Soybean Association, been doing a lot of groundwork with our Washington staff, that they've been working with other commodity groups, been talking through where we can all agree, where we've got some differences, and where we need to get things done. So we're a little bit ahead of the curve here, that we've been doing kind of behind the scenes, kind of setting things up, because it didn't matter on the election. It's like you said, we've got to start moving. We need to get this deal done. And it would be nice to see it done in 17. There's a baseline argument there, but there's also the argument there that you don't have an election year. And election years have become just so partisan, so vitriolic. It becomes a mess. And so maybe we can get it in 14. Cooler heads can come together. We can get something done. And I think that's what the American people, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, want. They want to see a government that governs effectively and does what they need to.
What types of things would your group like to see in the next farm bill?
Well, of course, you know, we've got PLC for our farmers. That's worked really well. We'd like to see a strengthening of the insurance safety net. There are some problems in that we need to make sure that farmers are rewarded for the technologies and the new practices they imply. And by that I mean the farmer that comes in and he's had an older irrigation system and he updates that. There needs to be a way to adjust that yield on your insurance to recognize the extra investment you've put in that. Because, you know, if you're going from a old grow water and you're going to a new high efficiency, maybe drip system, underground drip, or circle system, you've put a lot of money in that, and your yields should be better, and they will be. But you need your insurance also to reflect that. And that yield drag of trying to take a 10-year yield and pull it up just doesn't work when you're doing the advancements we're doing in precision irrigation, precision agriculture, the new seed varieties we've got. So we've got to find a way in this next farm bill to strengthen that. And that's some things that are not heavy lifts, or just things that need to be made plain into the next farm bill so that it helps farmers be rewarded or be protected when they do make those investments.
The different agriculture groups are looking for different pieces in that next farm bill. With your members, you know, a lot of your people are not only growing soybeans, but they're growing corn, they're raising beef or dairy cattle, maybe pigs. They're a multifaceted operation. What types of things are you hearing that all the groups can agree on?
Well, I think everybody's generally happy with the ARC PLC choice that we've got. There are some pockets where we've had trouble with ARC County, you know, and we've had disagreements as to this county's getting this and why are we not. As we move forward in it, you know, those are things we see that are positive. The insurance is positive. Everybody sees that. Now, we've got problems. The cotton guys have got problems in that they just really don't have a safety net in their program. And we've got some dairy problems. And dairy is very important to us in soybean industry because they use soybean meal in the dairy feed. And so we need a healthy dairy industry, just like we need all of agriculture to be healthy. And so, you know, those things that we see, we got a really good farm bill for soybeans in the current farm bill. But there's no reason that we can't move, make it more consistent, like I already mentioned, in the areas of insurance, and also make it better for those of us that are growing other crops. And like you said, I've got soybean growers. We represent states all the way from New York over to Texas, all across the plains. We grow everything with soybeans. We've got guys that grow rice. We've got guys that grow cotton. We've got guys that grow nearly every crop in the country, vegetables. And so they all look at a balanced approach, and I think that's one reason that we've tried to take a lead in this farm bill and put together something, because we do draw from people in every type of agriculture in the eastern U.S.
Let's look at another area of concern with regulations. EPA wants to put more restrictions on atrazine. That's a huge problem if they limit your use, isn't it?
Well, and I hope that's part of the deal that we get with this new administration, is that we get some of this pullback. You know, we've all used these chemicals. We've used them a long time. We know what we're doing with them. The atrazine is just the latest in a line here of things that we fought for several years here just to get a dicamba over the top level for the Xtend, and just got that yesterday. And then we as farmers have used those chemicals for years. I can remember spraying dicamba when I was a kid on grain sorghum right next to cotton. We never hurt our cotton. This can be done. Farmers know how to do this. They know how to do it safely and effectively. We don't need all this government regulation for the one thing that happens bad here or happens there. The more the government puts a regulation on us, the more it's likely that we do have people that go outside the boundaries. And so I think as we get a new administration, we see what comes in the government, you know, we see who gets into these new posts, that we're going to see a lot less of that regulation. We're going to see a lot less pressure on the older formulations, on the newer formulations. And that helps us all, because it makes it cheaper when you're not going through all those steps.
You mentioned you just got something yesterday on dicamba. What is that latest development?
The EPA has approved the use for the over-the-top-of-the-crop Xtendimax with vapor grip. So now farmers will be actually legal to spray that formulation over the top of their Xtend soybeans or Xtend cotton. And so it's a great help for the farmers. It helps add to that ability to control resistant weeds. You've got multiple modes of action there. It's really going to help. It's a new formulation, it's a lot less volatile, it's a lot safer for everybody to use, and so that's very important for us.
That's a different formulation than what was used previously, right? And in some cases not properly.
Well, it's a different formulation of what was the old Bamville, which became Clarity, which is now the Xtendimax vapor grip, and so, or Xtend with vapor grip, and It's going to be a big help for us. It's going to give us that ability to go out there and control weeds even better in some of these crops.
Let's look at trade. A lot of people don't like TPP. A lot of them do. Some say that it needs to be reworked a little bit. Where's your organization at?
Well, you know, we'd like to see TPP go ahead in its current form. We spent a long time on it. We got it finished. Just because there may be a few flaws in it, I don't think we throw this whole thing out. I'd like to see it get done, and then we step back. We look at those areas where there can be some problems, and we fix those. TPP, as far as we're looking at, it's a great deal for soybeans. Soybeans will be basically a free market in this area in 10 years in every market. So it's a win for soybean farmers. But like we've always said, we've got to not leave any of our brothers in agriculture behind. And so we've got to make sure that it benefits everybody. And as we benefit everybody, we'll get that. And I think we've got a chance here because as I look, and not with anybody with any great insight, but looking at what we've done and who we've got as president, he's a businessman. If we go to him as soybean farmers or we go to him as corn farmers or whoever we are, and we present reasons why this trade agreement is good and why this is put together well, then they're going to accept it. Now, do we need to renegotiate some of the stuff we're working on in the future? Well, we'll have a new team in there and we'll get that. But let's take what we got now. Let's get it. Let's keep it in the motion, because if we don't, then I'm really afraid we're going to lose the momentum, and then we're going to have a problem with, we could have China really competing in some of these, you know, trade deals and stuff, and it may take us out of an important role in that trade scenario.
I have a legislator back in Wisconsin that says it's important to be at the table to help make the rules instead of standing on the sidelines and letting China make the rules. What do you think?
Now, that's, you couldn't be said any better than that right there. And that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we're there, we're helping with the rules, and that we don't take a step back here and leave that void. You know, the same argument that you could use, that Trump has used in Iraq, we pulled out and left a void. I think we'd be doing the same thing with TPP. Pull out, we leave a void, we may let the Chinese in.
We talked a little bit about infrastructure before, as we look at, you know, roads, bridges, the obvious things, but a lot of people outside of agriculture don't really understand how important the riverway system is and the lock and dams that have really not been maintained well over the last 30 years.
Well, and that's part of the infrastructure that we've really got to look at. I hope that that's part of what Trump was talking about the other night, and, you know, in his, basically his acceptance speech was that, hey, we need to build the infrastructure. We need to get those things positive for the American economy and people again. And so, you know, locks and dams are part of that. Rivers and bridges are part of that. That doesn't just help us in agriculture. It's vitally important because that's our advantage in the world market. While we may not always be the lowest cost producer on the farm, we've always had the best system to get it to the international markets. It costs a lot more for a Brazilian to get his soybeans to the port, on the boat, and overseas than it does us. Well, that's money that comes back to the farmer because we don't have to waste that money in transportation. So yeah, I think we'll look at, as we move forward, that infrastructure. And it's not only going to be a help for agriculture. When you look at this locks and dams and stuff, I think that's a boom for the rural economy. That's going to be something where that guy that maybe is a welder that's not had that job for several years gets to come back. He's got a job where he's doing something. And I hate to steal the phrase, but I don't know any way to put it any better. And that's, you know, we got to make America back great again. Not that it's not been great all these years, but there's a way forward and there's a way to make everybody a lot better off. And so let's get to work and let's do it.
Let's take a hypothetical. If, say, one of the lock and dams, say, in Illinois, I understand one of the worst ones is there, if they have to shut that down for a year or two, what's that going to do to moving those products from north of that dam?
Well, they'll get moved. That's always the deal. They'll get moved. But all those farmers that are affected by that will get less income, which means less money in the rural economy. You know, it's a domino effect. And so we need to get ahead of this. We're already behind, but that's what I say. We need to get ahead of this, and we need to make sure that we don't have that catastrophe. You know, driving after the car's already broke is always a bad thing. So let's fix the car. Let's do a little maintenance now, and then we'll worry about what, you know, comes. But let's not wait till it breaks.
With a couple of those dams looking at total replacement, I had one person suggest that maybe the smart thing to do would be to build an entirely new lock elsewhere on the same dam, leaving the old one operational until the new one is ready. would that help your situation with shipping?
Well, that's for a lot smarter people than me. But, you know, that's the things that we've always got to look at. Just because we've always done it this way, or we've always done it, you know, right there, yeah, what's the problem with building a replacement, keeping the old? And you know what? You may find that not only did you need the new one, but if you repair the old one, then you've got that much more capacity in the future. So, you know, it's a thing that we've got to look at, and we've got to get government to the place where it operates in that kind of mindset, in that mindset where it thinks outside of the box, not just this is the way we've always done it. Let's do it a new way. Let's do the best we can.
GMOs, GMO labeling, that's another issue that your association looks at closely.
Well, you know, and we didn't get the bill that we really wanted, the one that came out of Congress. We got the one that came out of the Senate. It's something I think we can work with. I think that there's a possibility that there are things in there that could really be bad for us if we didn't have the support of a strong Secretary of Agriculture. You know, and in that light, Secretary Vilsack's been a great champion for us on that. They've started that process. They're working on it. We always knew they wouldn't get through with it, but now that we're going to have a really conservative, I look at it, USDA, we're going to have a new Secretary of Agriculture. I hope that Secretary of Agriculture will take the same science-based, common sense, not trying to put one group in an advantage over another attitude that Secretary Vilsack has had. And I also hope that the new secretary and the new USDA will reach out to him to continue that work, to continue that input and that outlook that he's had, and that strength of trying to protect the American farmer and trying to make us a better agricultural system than what we've been and what we could be.